Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Party.
Today is April 5th, 2015, and this is episode 76. My game wants to party all the time. A Game Buoy spotlight on party games at the Game Buoy Party Games Games Party. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
This week we're taking a kind of fun and experimental look at party games.
Party!
So buckle in and get ready for that. But first we have our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits. Slaggy McWaggy, if you'd like to get us started.
Yes. Nexon and Neeple, you know, are working on Ghost in the Shell Online. We've been talking about the online FPS. And what is interesting is that it is going to be launching in North America first. So that's cool. Yeah. The first testing is going to take place in South Korea. The service will begin in North America. So... yes.
Excellent. I'm really, really looking forward to that. We also have news here, following up on a news story from a couple of months ago, that the CEO, or I'm sorry, the company president of Image Epoch, whom you're probably familiar with from such games as Last Ranker, Arkrise Fantasia, or Luminous Arc, has been missing.
Oh my gosh.
That is, Ryoe Mikage-san has apparently not been seen for quite some time at this point now.
Wow.
Other Japanese game devs have been trying to reach out to him on Twitter and also just like writing open letters like, please reach out to us. Mikage-san himself has not been seen or heard from in months. So
that's frightening. Why is this not in Doom and Gloom?
Because it's a follow-up of something we've talked about previously.
Okay.
We also have word here that Binding of Isaac is finally going to be releasing on non-Sony-owned platforms.
Oh, cool.
You may recall, of course, that this was sort of an ongoing story for quite some time in the early years of this show. Finally, the new 3DS, Wii U, and Xbox One will be getting Binding of Isaac, quote-unquote, soon-ish.
Oh, wow. In some unfortunate news that everyone's crying about, The Legend of Zelda Wii U has been delayed and will not be making a release in 2015.
It's not really that sad of news.
Oh, you. Onuma-san left a video message on Facebook, and basically it's good news because, you know, Aonuma-san was talking about how the team has, quote-unquote, discovered several new possibilities for the game. And, you know, anytime Nintendo delays something, it's good. And it's just looking like it's going to be shaping up to be the biggest, baddest, in, like, a good, bad way, Zelda game ever.
Well, you know, it really goes back to what Miyamoto-san said back in the days when they were delaying Ocarina of Time. A delayed game is eventually good, a bad game is bad forever.
Yep.
So, you know, as much as I make jokes about Zelda, I'm, you know, if the game isn't gonna
be ready
for...
wasn't Twilight Princess delayed, though?
Oh, but for a super long time. That, to me, was almost like a too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, too many cooks.
Exactly so. But no, really, as far as I'm concerned, I'd much rather the game get delayed than be rushed out and released incomplete, and I ultimately have a lot of faith that this is going to be a great game. So, you know, we'll take it when we get it.
Yep, we will.
We also have some release dates here.
Release date, buoy.
Dragon Ball Z Extreme Budoden. This is, of course, the Nintendo 3DS Dragon Ball Z fighting game made by Arc System Works. Will be releasing in Japan on June 11th. We don't yet have any word on a Western release, but we get most of these Dragon Ball games, so I remain hopeful.
And I assume that you'll be able to get that on the eShop?
In Japan, yeah.
Right,
it'll be available on retail and on the eShop.
So on your Japanese 3DS or new 3DS, I can say, do you got the Extreme Budoden? And you're like, I do!
Oh, girl. The North American release of the upcoming Compile Heart PlayStation 4 Idol JRPG Omega Quintet has been set for April 28th.
In a big Halo, bro news,
Halo 5 is
out October 27th.
Is going to be releasing on October 27th.
Halo 5 Guardians for the Xbox One.
And last but certainly not least, Rodea Sky Soldier, which we've been following for years and years and years, is going to be releasing in North America on September 22nd and in Europe on September 25th.
Oh, that's super exciting.
Slaggy, unless you have anything else, I think it's time for...
News. Oh my god, news.
Slaggy, if you'd like to get us started...
Yes, well, Bowser's Castle is officially frozen over because Nintendo announced that they will be partnering with the Japanese mobile company DNA. This means that there will be gaming applications for smart devices using Nintendo IP.
Wow.
So these will be new games for smartphone and tablets, not just crappy ports. So we say that Bowser's Castle is frozen over because people have been saying for a while, oh, Nintendo needs to go into the mobile market, and we're just like, oh, you. But they've finally done it. And, you know, my thing is that Nintendo, I don't think, is going to let something out there that is crappy with their name attached to it. They learned the lesson with all those 3DO titles.
Yeah, I think you mean CDI titles.
CDI, yeah.
And, you know, my thing here is, if you were going to partner with a mobile dev to do something like this, DNA is a good choice for this sort of thing. A lot of you out there in internet radio land might be familiar with DNA for their recent Square Enix published iOS title Final Fantasy Record Keeper.
We've
talked about that here on the show a lot. It's actually a really great game as mobile games, social games go. So, you know, this to me really just says that Nintendo is open to additional mm-hmm. revenue streams.
Yeah,
they've made it pretty clear that they are going to be continuing to, you know, work within the dedicated video game hardware business.
That's true.
And, you know, this is really, for them, they see it as an opportunity to reach out to a market that they're not currently catering to, which is
the
smartphone-only type gamers.
Yeah, and if it means that it's pulling in revenue that lets us get things like Bayonetta 3, for example, just speculating, you know?
Yeah.
Nintendo
has said that they see this as sort of like a gateway drug, you know, getting people interested, getting them hooked on iOS, and then bringing them in to sort of like the full game mm-hmm. experience.
And so they've already started to dabble,
like a taster.
You know.
Oh yeah, and we have. We've seen them dabble in this space a little bit. We've seen some Pokemon apps hit iOS and Android.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
even on the 3DS, we'll be talking about one in the Direct in a little bit.
So we have seen some amount of, you know, free-to-play Nintendo titles at this point. Pokemon Shuffle is, of course, still quite popular, and it fits in that sphere. So, you know, to me, this isn't the big, crazy, scary news that everyone thought it was. It's just kind of interesting, and, you know, in a few months when they start showing games, I assume we'll see these games for the first time at E3. I'm very curious to see what kind of form they're going to take.
Yeah, me too.
Now, you may have noticed we talked about how Nintendo intends to stay in the dedicated hardware market. That's because they also confirmed that their next dedicated video game system is currently codenamed the NX. You know, we don't really know anything about the NX per se, other than that it is a dedicated gaming platform with a quote-unquote brand new concept.
Brand new concept.
Quite a few of us, of course, are looking at this NX title as sort of like a either next or, you know, like Nintendo Cross. Obviously, there's been a lot of speculation for years now that the next Nintendo platform is going to somehow be a hybridization of their traditional, you know, TV console market as well as their portable hardware market. So, you know, quite a few people are looking at NX as like ways that that could tie into that idea that we've already sort of all formed. And which, to be fair, Nintendo themselves has hinted at over the last couple of years.
Actually, it stands for Neat Xylophones.
Ooh, I'd be into that. Sounds very musical. We also have word here that on the Japanese eShop, there is now a 3DS theme centered around the Sega Dreamcast. For 200 yen, you can basically have your 3DS running a mock-up of the Dreamcast OS. I expect most people are not interested in this, but for those of you like me who are, go get it.
I'm like, why would people not be interested in that?
I don't know.
Here's some interesting news. Final Fantasy XI is getting a release for smartphones called Final Fantasy XI Mobile. There's also going to be a Final Fantasy XI spinoff for mobiles called Final Fantasy Grandmasters. These are two separate games. One of them is Final Fantasy XI, and the other is
Like a mobile JRPG.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is, to me, really exciting stuff. We have not heard about Western releases or supports for either of these games, but, you know, I'm really excited specifically about Final Fantasy Grandmasters. I take that back, actually. Updated word has come in that Final Fantasy XI Mobile will be releasing in North America in 2016.
Yep. That's interesting. I'm trying to figure out how that would play.
I mean, there are other MMOs that have mobile clients. You know, just take a look, check out YouTube and stuff. You'll find other instances.
A lot of people were hoping that this big Final 11 announcement would be free to play. Not yet.
This anytime there is ever any MMO having an announcement of any kind, people want it to be free to play.
Yeah, and I mean, 11 is still going strong, so you go, Gunkoko.
I will admit, I was kind of expecting that they would tie Final 11 and Final 14 subs together, so, oh, sub 1, play both.
Oh, huh.
But again, that was really mostly just wishful thinking, because I pay for 14, and I would play 11 if it came along with it, but I can't afford to pay for both.
Yeah.
I choose not to afford to pay for both.
Right.
We also, speaking of Square Enix, have word here that they are going to be revealing a new console JRPG later this year.
Oh, good. All these surprise Square Enix announcements. Oh, it's a mobile game.
Yeah, well, at this point, they have very specifically said it is a console JRPG, and we'll be hearing about it later this year.
Oh my god, oh my god, did you hear that a new Banjo-Kazooie game was shown at South by Southwest?
I did, but I also heard that it was a prototype of a Kinect game.
Well, of course, it's Rare.
But yeah, I mean, that's a entirely real thing that happened. I don't have a whole lot more to say about it.
Yeah, let's not get our hopes up, though. It's Rare.
Since the last time we recorded, Dragon Age got DLC on the Xbox One platform and nowhere else. Quite excitedly, for those of us who play Dragon Age on a console that isn't the Xbox One, the Jaws of Hakon DLC will be coming to PS4, Xbox 360, and PS3 in May.
Fantastic. So this was an interesting story that I've been following on the social medias. Pillars of Eternity, which you probably know as the Obsidian RPG that was kind of a throwback of all those old PC RPGs, had a lot of Kickstarter content. You could write little journal entries, I suppose they were. And what happened was that one of the Kickstarter backers wrote a limerick that was
read by some as transphobic.
Yes, and transmisogynistic specifically. So this was very controversial, and they did remove it from the game. So kudos to Obsidian. You know, even though a lot of people were saying they should have had better quality control in the first place, that they spoke up, that, you know, the internet spoke up and Obsidian listened. So, well done, internet and Obsidian.
Absolutely. We also have word here that Square Enix has already announced a sequel to their rather popular release earlier this year, Dragon Quest Heroes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dragon Quest Heroes 2 will be coming soon on the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation Vita.
Oh, wow.
Yep, still keeping that cross-gen dream alive.
Right?
We also have word from Capcom that they're going to be holding a Monster Hunter Hunter's Gathering in Japan on May 31st.
That's adorable.
There are going to be, you know, like, celebrities that have ties to the Monster Hunter franchise. There's going to be a ton of exclusive merchandise that you'll only be able to get at this event. And Capcom promises that there will be several shocking announcements.
Man, I need to get Monster Hunter 4G.
Yeah, you do.
Are they called Palicos in this one, or is that the old name?
They are Palicos.
I need some Palicos.
And last, but most certainly, certainly, certainly not least,
you can gather your Palicos and go to Six Flags Magic Mountain down in Southern California,
where they have the first North American Monster Hunter-themed roller coaster. This is the Six Flags Goliath, re-themed to be based around the monster Gormagala.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this.
Game Buoy Road Trip, TBH.
Right. It will apparently be running through this summer. So for those of you like myself who have been sort of really jealous about, you know, all of these Japanese Monster Hunter theme park rides, we need be jealous no longer.
Right.
We just need to go to Six Flags Magic Mountain before August 10th.
Yeah, I don't even care if Goliath, I'm not familiar with the original ride. I don't care if it's like super steep and increases my nausea rating because I have a low tolerance. I'm one of those peeps in Roller Coaster Tycoon, basically. I will go on it. I will puke for Monster Hunter.
Awesome. I will puke for Monster Hunter. all right. Well, that's all of our news, but unfortunately we do have a little bit of... So, in some bummer news here, we have word from Jeff Minter, whom you're likely familiar with as the designer of Tempest 2000, as well as, you know, several games published by LlamaSoft, including TXK, which was a takeoff on Tempest 2000, which, funny enough, it was released on the PlayStation Vita, and actually was a PlayStation Plus game for a while, so a lot of our listeners may actually have this game. Basically, Atari, or, you know, the entity currently in possession of the name Atari.
The undead conglomerate.
Yeah. They have been chasing after Jeff Minter now in really unpleasant, aggressive ways just to sort of try and get this game taken off the store, TXK, and to get him to basically stop making these really interesting and crazy vector games that he tends to do.
Well, what I never realized until this article was that back in 1993... they told him that Tempest 2000 was absolute rubbish.
Yeah, which is crazy because that is a super well-loved game, like, hello.
And whatever, so that was probably a very different form of Atari. That was the Jaguar era. And we all know how well the Jaguar did.
Yeah. So either way, we definitely come down here on Team Minter. You know, I think he's a really, really great guy in the gaming space. And I really hope that, you know, he stands up to the man on this one.
Yeah, Atari. It's literally not what it used to be.
Ah! We also have word here that the first Nintendo 3DS free-to-play game, Initial D Perfect Shift Online, which, you know, we've obviously talked about here on the show quite a bit over the years since it was first announced back in 2013, is going to be ending in Japan on June 30th. So for, you know, those of you who are playing this game on your Japanese 3DSs, enjoy it for as much longer as you can, because it's on its way out.
Yeah.
We also have a little bit more news to talk about here, as Nintendo held one of their surprise Nintendo Directs back on April 1st.
April Fool's.
No fooling, this was quite an event, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's not like they started talking about Dan Hibiki for 20 minutes.
Who would do that?
I don't know.
So
we're going to share this news directly to you.
We got word that Mario Maker has been delayed to this fall. More specifically, to September.
Wait, I don't remember there being an original release window, was there?
Actually,
I thought it was just vaguely 2015.
Well, they had very specifically indicated it would be early 2015 last year.
Okay.
So, you know, while they hadn't given us a strict date, they had definitely said early 2015 initially. That having been said, you know, every time they show the game, it has new features, it has new sprites. So it's clear, you know, they're working on the game, they're polishing it. What would Nintendo be without an obscene level of polish?
Right.
We also got a surprise announcement for Smash Brothers.
Oh, man.
That Lucas is going to be coming back as a downloadable character from Mother 3 in June.
Right? As soon as they showed up all those clips of Ness, I was like, oh, that's gotta be Lucas.
Yeah, absolutely, me too. We also got word that Mewtwo is going to be released as DLC worldwide on April 28th.
Woohoo! And of course, if you registered both titles, for 3DS and Wii U before the end of March on Club Nintendo, then you will get him for free.
As we've discussed here on the show, yeah, that's really exciting stuff. You know, we also got word that there's going to be some balance patches that same day, as well as new customization options for your Mii characters. So please look forward to that. We also got word that Yoshi's Woolly World is still on track for a 2015 release.
Yay!
Additionally, Nintendo is going to be releasing Amiibo for Yarn Yoshi, or, you know, Yoshi's Woolly World, and most excitingly...
These are literally Yarn Yoshi.
Most excitingly, yes, they are in fact plushies. They're going to be very cute little yarn plushies that are meant to look like Yoshi in the form that he takes in the game.
And they will be available in green, pink, and blue, and the clip on Nintendo Direct showed that you'll get a... like a duplicate Yoshi that mirrors your move.
That's exciting stuff. We also got word that Nintendo is going to be patching Codename Steam to allow players to fast forward through enemy turns.
I believe that on a regular 3DS, you'll be able to fast forward at twice the speed, and on a new 3DS at three times the speed.
Oh, excellent. That's great. That was one of the big complaints people had when that game came out, so very
exciting.
Aside
from one of the voice actors.
You always have to bring that up.
And in news that was a little surprising for me, but I guess not super surprising, we got an announcement that Attack on Titan: Humanity in Chains is getting a Western release on the 3DS eShop in May.
Indeed.
They will also be having the first two episodes of the anime available for free on the eShop.
We also got an announcement that Fatal Frame for Wii U will be coming to the West. This is, of course, the game that we all know and love as Fatal Frame, the Black-Haired Shrine Maiden.
Yep.
We don't yet know when the game will be releasing, other than it is currently slated for a 2015 release.
Wouldn't it be great if there were, like, a photograph amiibo that you tap to your Wii U?
Ah! I want some spooky amiibo!
Right.
We also got word, as Slagkick mentioned previously,
yep,
of the upcoming Nintendo 3DS free-to-play release, Pokemon Rumble World.
Yep, Nintendo experimenting with that free-to-play microtransaction realness yet again.
This is, of course, the next game in the Pokemon Rumble series, and it will include over 700 Pokemon, encompassing all generations of Pokemon to date.
Whoa!
Pokemon Rumble World will launch on April 8th, so probably right around the time you're listening to this episode.
In other news that was really, really exciting, I was setting it up for you, because I know that when we were watching this, you were freaking out.
We have finally seen more of Shin Megami Tensei versus Fire Emblem!
Woo!
This game is going to be releasing in 2015 for the Wii U, and it is called Illusory Revelations Sharp Fire Emblem, or Sharp FE.
I thought that was a hashtag.
I don't think it's meant to be a hashtag. Typically, that's a sharp, especially the Japanese use that a lot.
Now, is that only confirmed as the Japanese title? Because they seem to only be calling it...
In the North American Direct, they were just referring to it as, like, Shin Megami Tensei Fire Emblem Crossover Project. But...
Right.
But they still called it a 2015 release. And the big surprise here is that it appears to be a very modern JRPG.
Yeah.
Cut from the same cloth as almost like the more recent Persona games.
Yeah, that was... I think a lot of people were really shocked about that, but I was just like...
Yeah, I was too excited to be upset, and I still am. I think the game looks great. I'm super, super, super excited, and I just absolutely blown away.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not going to...
the trailer that they showed.
I'm sorry. I know people maybe are... We're expecting something different, but more Mega 10 and more Fire Emblem, hello, I will take it.
We also got the announcement and actual release of Nintendo 64 and DS games for Virtual Console on the eShop.
Woohoo!
The first Nintendo 64 game was Mario 64.
Oh, yes.
It is already available. The first DS game is Yoshi's Island DS, and it is also already available on the eShop.
And man, like, the different options you can have for the DS screens is so cool.
Indeed. And last but certainly not least, we got some updates on Mario Kart. The new DLC is now going to be releasing, DLC Pack 2, in the end of April. At the same time, Nintendo is also going to be releasing a free update that will include... new amiibo skins for the Mii character.
Right.
As well as an all-new difficulty in the game. This is the 200cc mode.
Right. I when they were saying, like, all-new, like, they were showing 50cc, 100cc, I'm like, are they about to announce 200cc? And they did.
Yeah, very, very exciting stuff. The trailer they showed, it looked really frantic and exciting. I'm super into this.
Oh man, it's gonna bring a whole new level of competitive realness to a party games party.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm absolutely stoked here. Slaggy McWaggy, that's about it for this Nintendo Direct. What overall did you think?
I thought there were a lot of surprising news, like the Mega 10 Fire Emblem hashtag FE sharp illusory revelations, and, you know, Attack on Titan getting a Western release. So it was a mix of surprises and, you know, other good news.
Excellent. All right. I, you know, was very impressed personally. I was super into quite a few of these announcements, not expecting the vast majority of them. So overall, I was just very, very happy with this Nintendo Direct. You know, every time a Nintendo Direct is announced, we all sort of get on the hype train. And, you know, often we let our hopes get up a little too high. In this case, our hopes were not too high. These announcements were fantastic, and I am super, super, super excited. All right, well, with all of that having been said, it's time to start this discussion. And this discussion, you know, is a little bit different from our average discussion. We threw a party, and we basically got as many of our recurring guests and, you know, top listeners, basically to come over to the SS Game Buoy and play some party games with us and record little interviews with us about the games they played. So, you know, we're gonna play those for you after we've talked just a little bit about party games.
Yeah.
And sort of our experiences with party games and our favorite party games. You might, of course, notice we're not really going to be able to do, like, a historical look at party games, because, you know, in a lot of ways, video games have their root in party games as an idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you can go all the way back to the 80s. You can look at NES releases.
The 70s. And, like, golly, look at this Pong machine that I got.
Oh, well, absolutely.
Let's gather around the television set.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, hell, if you want to take it to that place, you know, we could look at all kinds of Atari games, all kinds of Intellivision games, certainly, you know, arcade games.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only person here was at an arcade when they were young watching large groups of people take turns playing
or, you
Pac-Man
know, having birthday parties
Missile
at
Command.
Arcades and...
Oh, absolutely.
Chuck E. Cheese.
So this was
where
just...
Where dads have bar fights.
This is a really hard one to get super historical.
You know, the other
about.
Thing and that we'll be hearing from when we play our interviews for you is that... There are many different types of games that are played at parties, you know. We are going to kind of talk about some of the games that we think of as, oh, party games that are, you know, specifically meant to be played as a party game. But, you know, fighting games are popular at parties. Mario Kart racing games are popular at parties. Music games are popular at parties. So, really, that's why party games as a category is kind of like a nebulous thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we do have, you know, a few little points to talk about here.
Yeah, well, you know, and some of the really notable party games, and it's funny because I'm thinking about this, like, man, we did well in planning this party because these games were represented. I'm just looking at, you know, like, some lists of popular party games, and I'm seeing things like Anticipation, You Don't Know Jack, Mario Party... I'm like, these are games that were played at the Game Buoy Party
right.
Games Party.
Indeed. You know, interestingly, in my research, the first one that kind of was marketed as party game was Party Mix for the Atari 2600. In 1983, that was developed by StarPath, and it included five titles called Bopa Buggy, Tug of War, Wizard's Keep, Down on the Line, and Hand Car. I unfortunately do not have any experience with that. If you do, maybe Dark Sakura over on Orange Lounge Radio, if you're listening, maybe you've had experience with Party Mix. All I know is that most people hear Party Mix and they think of the yummy treat for cats.
You can buy Party Mix for cats?
Well, it's like a little, like, kibble treat.
Like Meow Mix?
Kind of.
All right. Wow. I had no idea.
Apparently, this game was really notable for having one-on-one or two-on-two split-screen multiplayer. So it's interesting to think of that back in 1983, right around, you know, the crash.
Yeah, absolutely. Fascinating to think about.
And of course, you mentioned Anticipation, which I believe we covered a little bit on our Rare episode, but anticipation is just, something about it is really frustrating, you know, but part of that almost lends itself to the enjoyment, you know, like, it's basically a Pictionary of Trivial Pursuit sort of mashup. It's a connect the dots sort of thing. You have to guess what the computer is tracing. And it has like a little game board thing, like a Trivial Pursuit. So, you know, we think of kind of like game board video games being kind of like a party game thing, especially with Mario Party, of course. So this is one of the first ones that I definitely remember being like, oh, it's like playing a board game on the computer or the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Well, hey, the box art for Anticipation literally calls it Nintendo's first video board game.
It also says party fun for all ages.
Yeah.
It's like, David Wise did the music for that BTW.
Well, you can tell because the music in that game is effing fantastic. Slaggy, I want to get a little more personal for a second. What is your favorite party game?
My favorite party game? I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, I have a long time love for Mario Party, but I think as an adult, I definitely gravitate towards the You Don't Know Jack series of games, just because, you know, it's more for an adult sensibility.
So do you specifically mean You Don't Know Jack, or are you including, like, Jackbox games?
Oh, I'm including Jackbox, you know, just kind of the series of Jack games.
Excellent.
Cookie Masterson games.
So if Cookie Masterson is involved, you want to be there.
Yeah.
You nasty. Excellent. All right. Let's talk specifically a little bit about the Game Buoy Party Games Games Party. What games did you play at the Game Buoy Party Games Games Party?
I played a little bit of everything. You know, we had Smash going, so there was a lot of 8-player Smash, which gets really frantic. There was Anticipation was on, and I got the Anticipation started. I don't know if anyone actually talked about it that I interviewed. Did you get some interviews about Anticipation?
You know, I don't think I did, so you probably should talk about Anticipation right meow.
A lot of people at the party had not been familiar with Anticipation, and a lot of them were requiring help from each other, so, you know, you all can't be a pro like me. But I think a lot of people were definitely getting... It's not a great game, which Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio is going to kill me for saying that.
Well, appropriately so, because it is a great game.
It's a little cheesy. It's a little cheesy, and some of the pictures are questionable as to what it's supposed to look like.
Your face is questionable.
Rude. Wow. That said, it's fun, and I think that the people who were playing it, you know, really, after a while, were like, okay, this is cute. I think people maybe appreciate it more historically than actually something like, oh, I'm going to pick this up and play it, unless you're you, me, and Rob Roberts.
Yeah, and I know the Koopa Club boys have some love for that game.
Oh, yeah, well, they're all about games.
So
they're playing games all the time, let me tell you.
So what did you think specifically of the various games you played at the Game Buoy Party Games Games Party?
Well, I mean, Smash I've talked about before, so you know, it was fun to see different skill levels and, you know, different characters being used that I might not see. Seeing all the 8-player, seeing what type of rules people like to put into effect. You know, we usually go with stock, but a lot of people were like wanting to do like, you know, a time battle or whatever. So that was cool. I kind of let other people take over. I did a lot of watching.
Oh, and there was a momentary heated debate on items versus no items.
Yeah, so it's really interesting to see, you know, how groups of people prefer to play, which is really cool. And, you know, I definitely in that crowd could not really hold my own, but it was fun. And it was fun to see people really getting into it. A couple of people had not had the chance to play Smash U yet, so I think they really had a good time. I also played a little bit of Nidhogg. It was not my first time, but, you know, another great title. And there was some Towerfall action going on as well. And, you know, of course, these are both games that I had played before, but, you know, really, especially with Towerfall, I was really starting to get into the groove with that.
Get into the groove, boy.
Party games.
You know, something that was really interesting to me about Towerfall in particular, we had a couple of people who came over just because it was a party. They're not really gamers. Who got really, really into Towerfall.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And, you know, quite a few people specifically talked about how they felt the game was really accessible, but still complex. It was really interesting to me because, you know, from a game design standpoint, that's like the sort of like the dream is to, you know, have a game that's accessible and simple and easy to get into, but that has like constant layers of depth sort of revealing themselves.
Mm.
And so it was really interesting that these people who are, you know, really not gamers, or who certainly wouldn't self-identify as gamers, really ended up going, I mean, for hours at Towerfall.
Yeah.
And really learning these sort of advanced mechanics, learning, you know, how to dodge and grab arrows out of the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really fascinating to watch, because by the end of the night, some of these people who wouldn't call themselves gamers, it was like watching, like, high-level play.
That's so cool. I also know that Jackbox was happening, but I didn't actually get to play that because I spent a lot of time, I was kind of fronting the Mario Party 10 play.
And explain that.
Well, you know, let's talk about Mario Party for a minute. The first Mario Party came out in 1998, and very soon after spawned imitators, there was Crash Bash and Sonic Shuffle, so every mascot basically got their own sort of party game.
Well, South Park even got one.
South Park.
Chef's Love Shack.
Chef's Love Shack, right. And, you know, we all know Mario Party takes place on a game board, playing mini games. Now, the interesting thing about that is, I say, you know, these are all these kind of tropes we expect from Mario Party. Mario Party 10 really kind of flipped everything on its head. One of the modes now is Bowser Party, which is kind of cool. You get to have someone with the game pad play as Bowser, and if Bowser catches up to the players who are all in a little vehicle, there's a Bowser versus players minigame, but there's not minigames after every round, which is definitely something that feels very different, and that's particularly the case for, like, kind of the default mode, like, you know, the Mario Party mode, is that you could go pretty much through an entire game with only playing a couple minigames. And so I think a lot of people who were familiar with the, you know, Mario Party series were a little bit let down by that. And I definitely feel that it's still cool, but, you know, I don't think it really lived up to my expectations. You know, there's definitely a lot of changes. There's mini stars instead of collecting stars. So it's just very...
And some of these changes were made with Mario Party 9.
Right. And I guess I thought I played 9, but maybe it was 8 was the last one that I played.
Yeah, the most recent one I've played with you is 8.
Okay, yeah, because 8 still felt like a traditional Mario Party. And, you know, it's not a bad game. It's just I was really looking forward to 10. Interestingly, I think people who had not played a Mario Party game before thought, oh, it's cool. But, you know, I think that maybe they would have been, if it had been like a traditional Mario Party that we were used to, they would have been more wowed by it. They're just like, oh, it's okay. Because, you know, we think of, like, all the crazy mini games where you basically, you needed the special glove on the N64 or whatever. Or, you know, the ones on the Wii where you had to shake your Wiimote and it's very suggestive. I just, like, I can't even think of any of the mini games that are really stand out to me. So, I have to say I'm a little bit bummed. But I actually think that Amiibo Party is pretty cool. Amiibo Party, unfortunately, is a small game board, but it's basically the most traditional Mario Party style game. So if you are diehard Mario Party, you either maybe just want to do like the free play mini games or just do Amiibo Party because, you know, it's really different. And I guess I kind of ranted.
You sure did. You sure did. Well, I want to get to these interviews because, you know, it's going to take up a good chunk of time and I don't want this
episode...
but
you didn't talk about what you were
to necessarily go too long. But to answer your question, because I was going to get to it, I played a lot of Smash. A lot of Smash. You know, I also played a lot of Towerfall. I did play the Jackbox games. I specifically had a lot of fun with Fibbage, but I always do. Drawful, I think. I like that game a lot. I had a great time hosting the Game Buoy Party Games Games Party. We will probably do another one next year.
Totally.
And hopefully we'll have some interactive bits for those of you out there in internet radio land, maybe do some online games.
Oh, yeah. So, I wonder if we can get a Twitch Plays sort of style. I don't know how to set that up.
Well, we'll talk about that after the show. Do you have any last thoughts on party games, Slaggy? I know that you're a big fan of party games, and I'm Sorry that I'm cutting this so short, but again, I want to have room for all of these interviews.
No, totally. I think that it was really fun to have it like as a party, but really just that anytime there's a party game that you can have a party. Party!
All right. We're going to play these interviews, and we will
be back.
And then
we're going to probably go play some Mario Party.
We'll be back with you to wrap this show up in just a little while. This is Captain Spike. I'm here at the Game Buoy Party Games Game Party with Game Buoy super fan Crystal D. Crystal, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Excellent, excellent. I'm very happy to hear that. Do you want to tell the listeners out there in Radioland a little bit about your experience in gaming?
I've basically been playing since I was a kid. I grew up in a household where my mom actually bought the Atari the first time. And we went from Atari to NES and kind of been around my whole life and kind of been playing a little bit here and there. And then, of course, when I got with my husband, he kind of really brought it out in me, and that's kind of how I went to the extreme.
Excellent, excellent. We'll be talking to him in just a minute. Do you play a lot of party games?
When I can, but we don't really have a lot of parties, so not a whole lot at home.
Would you say you have a favorite party game?
Yeah, definitely. Well, Mario Kart's always been on my top 10 list. And then, of course, I love racing games, so I love playing Burnout Revenge with my friends. And also, we've been playing a lot of, like, the Jack series, too.
Excellent, excellent. You know, we actually had some of those here in the studio tonight. Did you play it? In fact, why don't you just tell me, what games did you play at the Party Games Games Party, sponsored by Game Buoy?
I played Nidhogg, I played Smash Brothers, which that was actually my first time ever playing, and I played Castle, what was it?
Towerfall. Excellent, excellent. Well, why don't we talk about those a little bit? What did you think about Towerfall?
I absolutely love Towerfall. It was really simple to control. It was something that you could definitely keep up with, and you never know who's going to win, because as much as you think you have the upper hand, next thing you know, an invisible arrow comes out of nowhere.
Excellent, excellent. You said this was your first time playing Nintendo's much-storied Smash Brothers franchise. How did that experience go for you as a relative newcomer?
It was actually really fun. I definitely did a lot of button smashing, but other than that, the only problem that I ran into is I was playing with a lot of people, so I did have a tendency to lose my character on screen. But other than that, it was really fun. I loved getting to know a lot of the new characters. Well, not really new characters, but a lot of the characters' moves.
Excellent. Do you think you're likely to play that one again?
Definitely.
Excellent, excellent. What do you say that last one you played was?
Was it Nidhogg?
Nidhogg, yeah. That's one that I recently got switched onto. How did you enjoy it?
Oh, I love that game. I've actually played it a couple times at home, and it's definitely something that can actually either spark an argument or stop an argument.
Remind me to ask Dan about that when I have my time with him.
Okay.
that's about all I really have for you tonight. Are you having a good time? Please don't say no, because I am throwing a party here.
I always have a good time.
Thank you, my dear. Anything else for all of those lovely, beautiful listeners out there in Internet Radio Land?
Nothing I can think of. Just keep on gaming.
Indeed. Thank you so much for your time. I'll let you go back to the party. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Bye. This is First Mate Slagkick with the SS Game Buoy here at the Game Buoy Party Games Games Party. And I am here with Lore. Thank you for coming, Lore.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's been a pleasure. I just want to start out by asking, what is your experience with video games in general?
I've played a bunch of portable games, but I've never had, like, a home console.
Interesting. Portables are good. What's your favorite portable console?
The 3DS.
Nice choice. And, what is your favorite party game of all time?
I've never really played a party game.
Oh, well, this was a good party for you, I suppose, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really fun.
Wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. What party games did you play at the Party Games Games Party, sponsored by GameBuoy.org?
Drawful?
Oh, yeah, that was great. What did you think of the Jackbox?
It was kind of buggy, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. And I understand that you also played some Mario Party.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
What was your favorite mode? Because you played all of the modes, right?
I think my favorite was probably the Bowser Party mode.
Bowser Party, nice. Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to be Bowser tonight?
No, I did not.
Well, darn, we're just going to have you back to do that. Thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
This is Captain Spike, broadcasting to you from the Game Buoy Games Party, Party Games, Games Party, IDK anymore.
Wow.
I have Game Buoy superfan Dan D with me here in studio. Dan D, why don't you say hello to our lovely, beautiful listeners out there in Internet Radio Land?
Hello, lovely, beautiful listeners.
I bet you've been waiting like 3 years to do that.
Yeah.
So that everyone out there knows where you're coming from, why don't you tell me a little bit about the role gaming has played in your life?
Oh, gosh. Games. I like games a lot. So I started out on Commodore 64 playing games like Zork.
Nice.
And got into just the idea of, hey, games can be more than just Pong and whatnot. And so I started playing a lot of RPGs and enjoyed all of the stories and whatnot. Went to every single other system except for a big gap where PlayStation 1 and Nintendo 64 era is. I know, it's terrible.
I can't hold you. I can't blame you for that. Is that it? Overall, would you say gaming has added a lot to your life?
I'd say gaming is my life.
Ah! I relate to that. Enough that I cackled so loud it literally echoed outside this room. Do you play a lot of party games?
When I get the chance to, definitely, but, yeah.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, how about you let our listeners know, what party games did you play tonight at the Party Games Games Party, sponsored by GameBuoy.org?
Let's see, I played, Smash Brothers, I played Towerfall, and then I played some, Jackbox and Drawful.
You know, I spoke to your wife just a little bit ago. She did not get in on the Jackbox action. So why don't we start there? How was your time with Jackbox?
Jackbox, as always, is really good. Really enjoyable.
And which game in the Jackbox did you say you played?
So I played Fibbage and Drawful.
Excellent, excellent. And you had a good time with both of them?
Of course.
This was also Crystal D's first experience with the Smash Brothers series. It sounds like you played a little bit of that as well. Was this your first time as well?
It was not my first time with Smash Brothers. However, I am still terrible at Smash Brothers.
You say that, but I mean, you know, I was playing with you. I saw you make it pretty deep into the game several times. So, have you played Smash U before tonight?
No.
What did you think of Smash U?
It was fun. I mean, you're still playing with, like, a wave bird, so it kind of seemed familiar.
Yeah, they definitely have that going for them. Last but certainly not least, Towerfall. Now, if I recall correctly, you had stated before we got into it that you actually weren't very impressed by Towerfall. Did your opinion change actually playing it in a party setting?
Surprisingly, yes. I only played Towerfall with one or two people, other people, and it was just not as fun. But once you get four people in there, it was a lot of fun, a lot of chaos going on.
All right. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your night. I want to let you get back to the party. I trust you're having a good time?
Of course.
Excellent. I would have been very disappointed if the answer was no. Do you have any messages out there for our friends in Internet Radio Land tonight?
Nothing really. Just like my wife said, keep on gaming. But also, Captain Spike, we need to play Nidhogg before the night's over.
Oh, we gonna play Nidhogg. But don't you have literally a product you sell that maybe people could buy?
I literally do, but I don't like being a shill.
What is it, a craft studio?
It is called Craftmaster, and it's on the Unity Asset Store.
Excellent. Well, all of you out there, if you're looking for Unity Asset Tools, why don't you tell people about it rather than just giving them their name? Jesus.
Okay, so Craftmaster is a tool that gives you a crafting framework to let you create games kind of like Don't Starve and that kind of game. Gives you a framework to start a game like that off. You can find more information about it at mindcrit.com.
And that was mindcrit.com, correct?
Correct.
Would you like to repeat it after me? Well, y'all caught that. If you really didn't understand it the first time, you can just rewind and play it again. Dan, I am just joshing you. You are one of my favorite people in the entire world. You married one of my very best friends. I adore you. Thank you for being my friend. I will let you get back to the party. Thank you so much for coming tonight.
Thank you, Captain Spike.
This is First Mate Sidekick once again here on the SS Game Buoy, live from the Party Games Games Party, sponsored by GameBuoy.org. And I am here with the very lovely Amanda. Why, hello, Amanda.
Why, hello, First Mate John Sidekick.
Amanda, what is your experience with gaming? Because I guess I don't know you very well, apparently.
I've been gaming, you know, ever since I was a kid. Started out with the Nintendo.
Very nice. And what is your favorite party game of all time?
That's a good question. I would have to say Mario Party was originally my favorite.
Any particular era, like the N64 era? Or
yeah, the N64 era when you had to, like, spin the controller. Like,
oh my god, did you get blisters? Totally. So, tonight, what did you play at the Party Games Games Party, sponsored by GameBuoy.org?
We played Smash Brothers, we played from the Jack Party Box, we played Drawful and Fibbage, and we also played the new Mario Party.
Nice! What did you think of each one?
I really like the Jackbox games. They're great for parties because everyone can get into it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, good laughs with those.
Yeah, I heard them. And what did you think of the new Mario Party? Did it stack up to your experiences with the originals?
Well, it's hard to compare to nostalgia, but I had a lot of fun with the new Bowser mode.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. You know, a lot of people are enjoying, you know, it's definitely different than, you know, the traditional Mario Party experience, but a lot of fun. Good. And you also, what did you play in the Jackbox? Did you get a chance to try all the games, or?
Well, I have outside of the party, but tonight we played Fibbage and Drawful.
Oh, nice, nice. So, would you recommend these games to everybody out there in Radioland?
Yeah, Fibbage is probably the best. Drawful is a close second. They're just great for parties.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming, Miss Amanda.
Thank you for having me.
And I think we'll be having you back soon.
Thank you.
This is Captain Spike broadcasting to you from the SS Game Buoy. We are here celebrating the Party Games Games Party, and I'm here right now with Rear Admiral Poit.
Why, hello there, Spike. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm having a great time. Thanks for having me over.
It is my sincere pleasure. So why don't we get started here? I know you have a show of your own. It's not a gaming-related show. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But first, I just want to ask about you as a gamer. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your experience as a gamer?
So I mostly play tabletop RPGs, not so much video games as your podcast is about, though I do, of course, still play video games. Recently, I've been, like, playing Borderlands with friends online, a lot of Smash Brothers, which is very appropriate for this party.
Absolutely. So do you often play party games then, would you say?
Yeah, I get together with friends about twice a month, if not more, to play games like Smash Brothers.
Excellent. That's great. That's great. And tonight specifically, what games did you play at the Party Games Games Party sponsored by GameBuoy.org?
GameBuoy.org.
Thank God someone did that tonight.
So other than Smash Brothers, because I said that like six times already, I played Towerfall Ascension for the first time, as well as Jackbox.
Excellent. Those are very popular picks. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your experience with Jackbox?
It was a very good party game because you have as many controllers as you have phones, which is as many as you need, and it is a very easy, intuitive game. All of the games that we've played in it so far, it's just you do whatever the game tells you to do.
Yeah, I think it's really intuitive. I think it's a great game, even for groups of people that maybe aren't traditionally gamers. I assume that sort of matches what you were saying about that. So you had a good time with it. Is this the kind of game you would pick up for yourself?
Yeah, I'm actually considering somehow like getting it to bring over to a friend's place. Do you have it on Steam or something?
I have it on Steam, yeah.
Okay.
And it's a real gem. You mentioned this is your first time with Towerfall. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So that game was slightly less intuitive, but still pretty intuitive. It took me five rounds before realizing that you could actually aim your arrows.
Oh.
I thought you could only fire horizontally.
I think that's a pretty common mistake for people who are playing for the first time, though.
Right, but once you, like, actually get into the game and play it for, like, 5, maybe 10 minutes, you pretty much understand everything there is to know about the game.
You know, that's actually my favorite part about that game, is that it's one of those, it has a, you know, sort of a very surface-level difficulty curve, but there's real depth to what you can do within that small set of abilities and techniques. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Now, that one, you know, that's available on most of the major gaming platforms now. Is that one that you think you could see yourself playing more of?
I certainly could. Do you know if there's online play or is it only local multiplayer?
You know, I have only played it local. I don't have an answer for you on that.
Because I have a bunch of friends who I would play that with online, but we only see each other once a year in person, if that.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Well, we'll look into that and we'll see if we can get you sorted. That's all about all my questions I have for you tonight. But, you know, I want to give you an opportunity. I know that you have a podcast of your own.
Well, thank you. I am one of the co-hosts of Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, as you always say, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man.
Absolutely. And where can people find you so that they can listen to this awesome show?
Well, you can find us at tablesladderspodcast.podbean.com.
Excellent, excellent. And do you have any last words for our lovely, beautiful listeners out there in Internet Radio Land before I let you get back to the party?
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
Thank you so much, and thank you for coming by tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Reporting live from the GameBuoy.org Party Games Games Party, this is First Mate Slagkick, and I am here with Gingerbeard. Shiver me gingers! How are you, Gingerbeard?
Ahoy. I'm all right.
Doing all right. What is your experience in the video gaming world?
I play mostly, like, PC games. Played a lot of PC games.
Ah, yes. Now, what is your favorite party game?
Favorite party games? I think I liked Smash Brothers a lot. I like direct competition games.
Yeah. Are you a big fighting game fan?
Yeah, I do like some of like the older fighting games and stuff.
Excellent.
Classic ones and so forth.
Excellent. What did you play tonight at the Party Games Games Party, sponsored by GameBuoy.org?
Smash Brothers, as I said, and then Mario Party, and then some of the Jackbox games.
Nice. What did you think of each of those?
Let's see. The Jackbox games I had played previously, we played Drawful and Fibbage.
Oh, nice.
Those are both pretty fun. I don't think I like Drawful quite as much because it's a little bit more buggy, and also I'm not quite as good at it. So, but Fibbage is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I figure you'd probably be good at being deceitful.
Yeah. Being a ginger pirate, I am.
Lovely. What were your thoughts on Mario Party?
It was actually, I think, now that I think about it, it was probably the first time I've ever played a Mario Party game.
Ah, interesting.
So I like the Bowser mode. That was pretty fun because I won and everyone else sucked.
Right. You got to be Bowser, right?
Yeah. Yeah, killed them. It was great.
Would you play it again?
Yeah, I think I would.
Well, wonderful. That's what we like to hear. Anything else you'd like to say to the listeners out there in Radioland, Gingerbeard?
No, they've had enough of me.
Aw. Well, thank you for joining us. We hope you had a great time.
Thanks.
This is Captain Spike broadcasting from the SS Game Buoy. I'm here at the Party Games Games Party with Polly Want a Cracker.
Hey.
How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. How about you?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. And thank you for coming out. Most of our listeners aren't going to be familiar with you, so why don't we start with your experiences as a gamer so that people know where you're coming from tonight?
I've been playing games since I was 2.5 years old on the old Nintendo system, the original Nintendo.
Excellent. What kind of games did you play back then?
Well, back then it was all just the usual platformy, jumping, squashing things, etc. Since then, I play mostly adventure, run, jump, climb trees kind of games, but I do partake in other things like RPGs and strategy games and everything in between.
Do you have a favorite game? And if not, can you just think of a recent game that you really dug?
Oh, I mean, recently I would say Guacamelee.
Nice.
It's a nice throwback and a surprisingly challenging game. Of all time, my favorite game is Eternal Darkness Sanity's Requiem for the GameCube.
I'm a big fan of Silicon Knights, so I totally feel that. And I'm a big fan of Guacamelee. I love Metroidvanias. So
good.
I'm right there with you on both of those picks. I think of a lot of our listeners are going to be too. Do you play a lot of party games?
I do, yeah. My sisters are not like serious gamers, but they always liked the fun, silly games. So we did a lot of that growing up as well.
I'm hearing a lot of that tonight.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite party game?
Well, back in the day, it was always GoldenEye.
Of course,
hard to beat that one. But really, Mario Party. kind of nails it.
Excellent. You know, yeah. You hear a lot of hate about Mario Party. Do you go to the original, or do you have a specific iteration there?
Oh, nope. I mean, really, whatever you have on hand is pretty good. The Wii ones, the motion controls get a little awkward. Certain gestures with family can be weird.
Oh, yeah. I know that my co-host, First Mate Slagkick, he has a real issue with the motion control in those Mario Party games. So
yeah.
He definitely would agree with you. So what games did you play tonight at the Party Games Games Party, sponsored by GameBuoy.org?
Tonight I played Super Smash Bros., which I've been playing for quite a while. I also played Drawful for the first time, and Fibbage.
Excellent. Those are both titles in the Jackbox.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a chance to play Towerfall at all?
I did. Yes, I forgot about that. I did. First time with that as well.
Excellent. All right, well, let's start with Towerfall. Your first time with it, mm-hmm. What were your impressions?
Amazing. I mean, it's fun. It's balanced really well. People who are a little behind get a boost, and it really ups the pressure toward the end. It's just, I mean, you don't feel like anyone's overpowered. It's a really well-balanced game. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, we're big fans of that here on the show, yeah. And the thing that really, for me, makes the game so exciting is it is perfectly balanced.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You also mentioned you played, was it Drawful for the first time?
Drawful and Fibbage, yeah, and for the first time from that box.
What did you think of those ones?
Really fun. I mean, I used to play You Don't Know Jack with my younger sister all the time. Silly, sardonic, just weird little game, and it really keeps that kind of feeling going with this. I think it's by the same guys who did that original game back in the day.
It is, yeah.
And it fits it perfectly. It's so weird and so silly, and it's just about having a good time.
I know we were playing with the sound turned down at the party today, but mm-hmm. In Fibbage, the voices are actually done by Cookie Masterson.
I heard a little bit. That's a very distinctive voice, and you cannot forget that voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Could you see yourself between the Jackbox, Towerfall? Do you see yourself playing any of these games any further?
Definitely, yeah. I didn't know about that box before tonight. I thought they were separate games. I didn't know they're all in one. I've seen people play Fibbage and Drawful, not knowing that they were all in one package. It's amazing. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, real incredible value.
Yeah.
Well, I think I've probably taken up enough of your time tonight. I know you've played Smash a ton, so
yeah.
I mean... just before we go, do you have anything you'd like to say to our listeners out there in internet radio land? Anything you want to point them toward? And any, you know, just messages?
I'm a recent... I recently moved to the San Francisco area. And if you're in the Bay Area, I enjoyed Gamer X. That was a nice little way to meet a bunch of people. Before I even moved here, I went there. I am in the Gay Men's Chorus here in the city, which is wonderful. We're going to have a concert here April 1st and 2nd, if this is out before then.
It will be, yeah.
Very cool. And I just got cast in the Ray of Light Theater's production of Heathers the Musical.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's based on the old cult classic movie. With Winona Ryder and all that nonsense.
Teenage suicide, don't do it.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm all about big fun.
All about big fun. Oh my god, it's going to be so ridiculous. The actual stage production is hilarious and crazy, and I recommend it highly.
Excellent. All right, well, Slagkick and I will definitely be there, and hopefully some of our listeners will come out too. You have been superb tonight. Thank you so much.
Of course.
I will let you get back to the... party, but you know, I also have to say we had panels at GamerX 1 and GamerX 2. We will probably have a panel at GamerX 3. I hope I see you there.
Looking forward to it.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
This is First Mate Slagkick here with Misha at the Party Games Games Party for Game Buoy. Thanks for coming, Misha.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Misha, I just really quickly want to know, what is your general experience in gaming?
General experience in gaming, I play a lot of different types of games. Like, do you want board game specific?
Video game podcast.
I have a long history of video games. Currently, I mostly play Xbox One.
Nice choice.
Let's take that back. I mostly play the Wii U because I mostly play Mario Kart right now.
Better choice. And I noticed you're wearing a beautiful Zelda dress. I wish I had one for myself.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Misha, what is your favorite party game of all time?
Ooh.
Or just a favorite, a fond favorite?
Gosh, that's really hard. Without being genre specific, or well,
just games. But... You know, party games are such a broad category, so you don't necessarily have to, you know, think of like the board game party game. Just your game to play when there are people and parties and possibly alcohol.
Okay. For a video game, I would say Rock Band is a good go-to game.
Yeah, definitely, game. Definitely.
And then, I think we play mostly board game or party game. So I don't know. I wanted to try the Fibbage you guys had because we very much like Baldur Dash, which I think is a really
Oh,
good
yeah,
game.
The Jackbox is great. Yeah. So, did you play the Jackbox tonight?
I did not get a chance to, but I think we're going to go home and purchase that so I can play.
Nice, good choice. What did you play tonight at the Party Games Games Party?
I played the Wii U. we played Super Smash Brothers. And
nice.
We played Mario Party.
Was this your first encounter with Smash U?
No.
Oh, okay, good, good. Oh, yeah, because you were kicking some ass there.
I was trying.
Yeah, and you were playing some Mario Party 10. Now, what were your thoughts on that? I know you're a big fan of Mario Party, so.
Yeah, I think I've played most of the Mario Party. I was looking forward to some of the different modes in this right. one, especially including the amiibo mode. So we tried what was it called? Bowser?
The Bowser mode, right.
The Bowser mode was interesting, oddly cooperative, mostly survival. So that was
kind yeah.
of cool. It was really different than the usual Mario Party. The amiibo mode was definitely my favorite just because it was more traditionally based Mario Party.
It is,
because I
yeah.
want to maximize my mini game playing time.
Right? Yeah, and I was surprised with that as well. Did you have a favorite mini game?
Ooh, I liked the little jumping flames one. What was it, flames? No, was it the...
It was a bees. Bees!
Sorry,
bees.
I like the jumping bees one. I like the mini games that have like timing for them.
Definitely. Do you think you'll be picking this up for yourself or?
Oh, probably. I think
wonderful.
So.
Well, thank you so much for coming and for playing.
Thank you for having me.
And we hope you will be joining us again.
For sure.
Bye.
This is Captain Spike from the SS Game Buoy, broadcasting to you live from the Game Buoy Party Games Games Party. And I have with me today the fallen pirate king, Xander, here to talk about his experiences at the party tonight. But before we get into that, Xander, thank you for coming aboard this lovely evening.
You're very welcome to be graced by my presence.
Can I ask you, I understand you to be a gamer. What has your experience been gaming in your life?
Well, you see, I started gaming at a very young age. Brought to you by Coca-Cola. Not a piratey drink, but we'll go with it. So, I recall very fondly the first time I held a gun in my hand and hunted the deadliest of games, the Duck of the Hunt. There was a dog that would often mock me. He didn't live through the day. But now, they've made a game that has him in it. It's quite a cute throwback.
I deeply regret allowing myself to refer to you as a fallen pirate king. Jesus.
You very much should, and I'm glad that you do.
Do you often play party games?
When the mood strikes me.
I am not surprised by that answer at all. What games did you play tonight at the Party Games Games Party, sponsored by GameBuoy.org?
Well, at the Party Games Game Party of Games and Parties, I played a game that featured that very dog in which I had spoken of earlier, as you may recall. I played a game called The Brothers of Smash, in which I smashed brothers and sisters alike.
Sounds pretty sexy.
You have no idea.
Alright, was this your first time smashing up brothers and their sisters?
Well, from personal experience, you'll know that that's not the case. I have smashed many a brother, many a sister, and a Ganondorf to boot.
So you're into giant pigs. This is good to know. Let me ask you, what other games did you play at the Party Games Games Party, sponsored by GameBuoy.org?
Well, speaking of pigs, I did play a game called Nidhogg, in which you stick one another with sharp objects in their nether regions, shall we say.
But you're missing the giant worm.
Well, I mean, I did get swallowed by a giant worm more than once today.
Damn, girl. And I'm pretty sure you played some more games. Did you get in on any of that box jacking action?
Well, I did jack a box a couple of times, but you see, being from whence I am from, I have a little problem with my spelling, as you 21st century folk might call it. You see, my letters, they were taught to me at a different age than your own, and so they are quite different.
So what you're telling me is that you didn't know how to spell elephant.
What I'm telling you is you've been a very naughty man, and I shall make you pay.
Thank you so much for being good, willing, and game tonight, Xander. I believe that's all my questions for you. I trust you're having a good time?
Verily.
Excellent, I'm very glad to hear that. I'm gonna let you get back to the party, but before you go, do you have any last words for the lovely, beautiful listeners out there in Internet Radio Land?
I certainly do. Don't blink. Blink and you're dead.
All right.
Oh man, that was awesome. Thank you to everyone who participated.
Yeah, that was a hell of an experience. Thank you all so much for coming out for that. Having listened to those, do you have anything to add, Slaggy?
No, but I do think we need to talk about...
Rumor has it. Rumor has it.
Oh my gosh, this first one is so shady. Like, I've been kind of following this as it has been bubbling under the surface. Can you please tell us what's the tea with Konami?
Oh, girl. Well, the long and short of it is that Hideo Kojima-san is currently expected to be leaving Konami after Metal Gear Solid 5 ships. And that, in and of itself, isn't necessarily that shady. Kojima-san has been saying for years that he wants to get out of the Metal Gear Solid grind. What is very interesting is that Konami has basically canceled his podcast, changed the name of Kojima Productions. You know, we've talked about Koji Pro a lot here over the years, so it's now just another generic Konami studio, and they have removed the Hideo Kojima game wording from all of their websites,
mm-hmm.
including in like box art graphics in various digital storefronts, for such titles as PT, the various Metal Gear trilogies and collections, and Metal Gear Solid 5. The Zone of the Enders, all of these games which had the branding, you know, a Hideo Kojima game, no longer have that branding.
Yeah.
All references to Foxhound with regard to Koji Pro Productions, they have all been removed. Like, it is just basically overnight, Konami, like, tried to wipe Koji Pro and Kojima's work and name off of the internet.
But what Konami's official statement says is, Konami Digital Entertainment, including Mr. Kojima, will continue to develop and support Metal Gear products. Please look forward to future announcements. As we have already announced, we are shifting our production structure to a headquarters-controlled system in order to establish a steadfast operating base capable of responding to the rapid market changes that surround our digital entertainment business. Konami Digital Entertainment, including Mr. Kojima, will continue to develop and support Metal Gear products. Please look forward to future announcements.
Yeah. So, you know, reading between the lines here, it sounds like Kojima doesn't want to keep doing Metal Gear. Konami really wants more Metal Gear, and Konami is gonna get what they want. Whether
You were just saying it, yeah.
Yeah, whether, you know, Kojima is involved or not, and I'll be honest, I really do foresee Kojima leaving, but it's not inaccurate to say at this moment that Konami Digital Entertainment does still include Kojima-san.
Mm.
You know, so we're covering this as a rumor because, strictly speaking, there's still a lot of speculation involved, but what we do know is that there's definitely going to be some kind of fireworks after September when Metal Gear Solid 5 ships on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, Xbox One, and PC. We also have word here of what is reported to be a canceled Kingdom Hearts iOS game concept art. Now, strictly speaking, we don't know that this is real, but, you know, it has all of the telltale signs of being real concept art for a planned iOS Android game. What's sort of interesting about this game, Kingdom Hearts Fragmented Keys, as they call it, is that it included characters and settings such as Wreck-It Ralph, Lilo and Stitch, Aladdin, Peter Pan, Frozen, Star Wars, and others. So, if this is real, which, you know, certainly we don't have official word that it is, but it certainly looks like real concept art. If so, we might be getting our first glimpse at what kind of locations and characters may be up for grabs in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it for the rumor mill this time, but we do have a smash for you. This is, of course, an article on gaming that was so good that we felt the need to push it out there towards you readers, both in hopes of getting hits for the publisher and to give you a good example of what games writing should look like in an ideal world. Obviously, those of you out there who are writing for games publications, I highly recommend you check out Paste Magazine's review of Battlefield Hardline. You know, normally a review isn't necessarily the kind of thing that I would want to talk about in Smash, because reviews are very, very subjective. But I really appreciated that this specific review looked at Battlefield Hardline two different ways. They looked at it as a game and talked about it as a game, but they also talked about the setting and story and sort of, you know, the fact that it's a little problematic right now to have a game where you're playing a cop who is wantonly killing innocent people and being awarded bonus points for it. And so, you know, I really appreciated that they looked both at the game as a game, as well as looking at it as, you know, like, oh, this is something I find problematic. But they did not downgrade it as a game for that. They really separated these two different facts and acknowledged the realities of both of the identities of this game. And I really appreciate that. You know, I know that we talk here on the show about how liberal we are, and, you know, we align ourselves with quote-unquote social justice warrior goals, but, you know, I certainly don't see the problem necessarily in someone who knows what they're getting into playing Battlefield Hardline and loving it. That's cool. But I do think it's important to talk about these issues, especially for people who don't know what they're getting into and might really have a hard time playing a game like this if they're faced with it unexpectedly. So I think it's really valuable and really useful to be having dialogues like this. I think there's a lot of value in reviews looking at games this way. And I'm really impressed with this.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We will be linking you to it over at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
And as ever and always, we will have show notes, including links to every article we've talked about here tonight, once again at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
So, Slaggy, what's up?
I said, hey, what's going on?
Well, I've been playing a lot. I'm only going to talk about a couple things here just for the sake of time. I resubbed to, I had not unsubbed due to lack of interest, just kind of time and budget. I decided to resub. I've been playing a Blood Elf Warrior just to try something a little different. I haven't really ever stuck with a Warrior for very long, and, you know, I typically play Alliance, so I just wanted to try something different. And so I'm having fun, kind of taking my time. I've also been starting to play the beta for Heroes of the Storm. Still learning how to play it. You know, I've never really played any MOBAs before, but I'm definitely starting to catch on. And it's funny because, you know, I remember like, oh, this is kind of like, you know, what I had to do in Warcraft 3 or whatever. So I can definitely see where the roots came from in Warcraft 3. So that's been kind of fun on the Blizzard front. I finally, after however many years of this game being in existence, started a playthrough of Earthbound on the Wii Virtual Console. So just barely started, but, you know, I was like, you know, I have this on my Virtual Console. It is long overdue for me to explore the Mother series, so I definitely need to play that.
If you stick with it, we can do Mother Buoy.
Mother Buoy. We might have to just wait for the 30th anniversary and do Mother Buoy XXX.
Girl.
Anyway, something else that I want to talk about is playing very recently Super Mario 3D World. Of course, it is not my first time, but just replaying it, I was just really struck by how it is really kind of the sum of every Mario mainline game to date, and just honestly might be my favorite Mario game of all time. Like, I was really, like, really appreciating, like, the level design and all the elements and how it iterates on, like, basically every Mario ever made. And, you know, we will talk much more about that in depth when we do a proper Mario episode, but just suffice it to say that, like, my love for it was definitely reborn.
Yeah, that is, Mario 3D World is such an incredible game. I'm really glad that it really clicked for you. I was loving listening to you talk about sort of the game design elements.
Right, and that's what really, struck me this time around. I mean, we had played it, you know, on its first release, and I had even played it back at the E3 experience at Best Buy way back when, so.
Years ago.
You know, I think just definitely, looking at it kind of from a fresh perspective. And I think because it also helped that you had been playing Mario 64, not to jump on yours, but, really seeing that back to back, the juxtaposition of the, you know, Mario elements. And yeah, with that, what you been playing? What's up?
So I have mostly in the last few days been playing Mario 64. I came out on the Wii U Virtual Console, so I picked it up on the first. I'm starting to wrap it up, though. I'm to the point now where I have like 90 stars, so I'll be wrapping that up in the next day or two, maybe even before this episode gets posted. I've also been playing a lot of Smash Brothers. I'm back to playing as much as I played in my Melee heyday, putting in a solid 2 or 3 hours a day pretty reliably, and living for it. I cannot get enough Smash Brothers. Due to the Party Games Games Party, I sort of left some of the consoles and PCs hooked up, so I've been also taking advantage of that, playing a lot of Nidhogg and Towerfall. In addition to that, you know, I played some Final Fantasy Record Keeper, which I'm actually really impressed by. I finally started Pokemon Shuffle on the 3DS, which I'm also really impressed by. Played a little more Cities Skylines on PC. I'm really enjoying that still. And, got around to downloading Pillars of Eternity and the Talos Principle. I haven't played either of them yet, but I'm sure by the next time we record, I will have something to say about those games.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, with all that having been said, I think it's time to start the wrap-up. Do we have some social links this week?
We do have some social links. And, you know, it's been a while to get around to...
It's been a while!
I thought that was Nickelback for a minute, but... Okay, it was Stained.
Stained, fool.
No, I know. You're okay. So, a couple weeks ago, you know, we asked over on our social media our question of the week, which was, this week we talk party games. What is your favorite game to play with your friends? We got some tweets from Your Enzyme and Crystal Ideas. So, Your Enzyme said, Drunken Mario Kart, Rock Band, various MMOs, and any Borderlands game. And that's what I said. It's really interesting to hear, like, what different people like to play. Mario Kart's definitely a great. Rock Band, I'm surprised. There was just so much going on that Rock Band just didn't even really happen. But Rock Band and Kara Rev, I remember like some of your early parties were Karaoke Revolution. I weirded a couple people out. That's their first impression of me, was me being like, party games. Crystal Ideas, who was probably at that party, says, I know it's an oldie, but Burnout Revenge has always been my fave.
Hell yeah.
Although I do love Mario Kart as well. No faves there. We got a few tweets in response to our posting of episode 75, which was Sweet Dreams Are Made of Kirby, a Game Buoy spotlight on Kirby. Braun Dwarf said, OMG. And Your Enzyme posted a picture saying, why can't I hold all these podcasts? It is a man who looks overwhelmed with all the limes he is holding. That is because we posted our Game Buoy Micro about Chrono Trigger, and we had posted the Kirby episode, and, you know, we had just put up our question of the week about the party games. So there's been a lot going on in the SS Game Buoy.
Indeed.
And now for some general tweets. Ikuma JP helps us out by letting us know that iMode is a mobile platform for the carrier Docomo. I, off the top of my head right now, don't remember what iMode was, in what context it was, but it was something where I said, I don't know what iMode is. So thank you, Ikuma JP. Twitter user Edward Wong 4 says, good lord, Spike Point, listening to Brink of Time on your suggestion from GameBuoy.org, and it is amazing.
Right? I'm happy that you enjoyed that. I am a huge, huge, huge fan. As I said during the Chrono Trigger Micro, it is crazy to me that there are people who haven't listened to that. Spread that. Spread the love and tell everyone you know who likes Chrono Trigger to listen to that. It is so good.
And also on the Chrono Trigger tip, Crystal Ideas tweeted, Talia and I are sitting in bed watching Dan play Chrono Trigger. Guess where the idea came from? I don't know. Where could you have gotten such an idea to play Chrono Trigger?
Woohoo! Party!
And apologies if I'm saying the Twitter name wrong. Leventine on Twitter, who is better known as Todd from the Game Bar podcast and many other pursuits, said, holy hell, people hadn't heard of Brink of Time before now?
Right.
Brown. And Edward Wong 4 said, don't hurt me, but I have never actually had the opportunity to play any Chrono games. Also asking, what is the best platform to play it on now? Gamer Fox jumped in and said, Chrono Trigger is available in tons of formats, wink. And my recommendation, of course, and what we kind of recommend on air is DS if you're able to do it. Really just the best way to play it, I feel. Gamer Fox also says, listening now, thanks to you guys. Posted a screenshot of iPod or iPhone some iOS screenshot of The Brink of Time. Grisser Rabbit on Twitter says, oh man, it's been forever. Guess what I'm gonna listen to right now. Oh man, we listened to that after we recorded that episode, and now I want to listen to it again.
We very well may do that tonight while playing Smash Brothers.
Edward Wong 4 continues, IDK, how anyone could hate this soundtrack. It has so many different feels. Warlock Battle sounds like it came out of a 1990s Quentin Tarantino flick. That track's also reminiscent of the original Hellstein OSTs. Wow, that's some great discussion about gaming soundtracks. I wonder why no one's done a podcast about video game music.
Yeah, I wonder. Some of our listeners should maybe consider podcasting about gaming music.
Ikuma JP posted a screenshot of Chrono Trigger for DS Ultimate Hits Edition from Japan and said, influenced. Why the heck is it still so expensive?
Because it's amazing.
Yeah, I guess Chrono Trigger is probably one of those DS games that still costs, you know, full price, I'm guessing. And I wouldn't know in Japan, but possibly very pricey there. Gamer Fox had tweeted, oh man, I need to catch up with your shows. And had some crying emoji. Don't cry.
Aw, don't cry. Yeah, we'll be here for you when you get to us.
You had posted a picture of the Party Games Party. Kuriyata Cho said, wait, that's today? Oh, she missed it.
Sorry, dear, but we heart you.
Gray Fairy said, wonderful use of the fireplace, which she put a, 50-inch HDTV on in front of the fireplace?
Yup. Well, I mean, it's California. We don't need a fire in the fireplace, so put a TV in there. Put a bird on it.
Right. And to wrap up here on our social media, you might have noticed that I posted something new over on GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
And that is the first Game Bloggy. And Game Bloggy is basically a platform for Spike and I to... Game Bloggy is basically a platform for Captain Spike and I to write about games. You know, we don't pretend to be gaming journalists or whatever, but, you know, just kind of a platform for longer form things that might not necessarily be...
on your radar, but most definitely should be.
Well, that, and I might not really be suited as much for the podcast format. So I posted one over at GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
And it was kind of just focusing on, you know, I'll let you read it if you're interested, but it was focusing on kind of...
You say you'll let them read it if they're interested, as if it's not linked on the front page of GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org. And it's called Separating the Art from the Artist in Gaming. Just kind of looking at, can we still enjoy games that have problematic things in its development? So Amiru69 over on Twitter and I had a great back and forth about this. I really valued his feedback on it. He says, I only boycott something if it goes to a homophobic or racist organization. I bought Tomodachi Life. Some countries still have the death penalty for homosexuals. Tomodachi Life was not a big deal for me. Regarding Tomodachi not being as inclusive or respectful as one doesn't equal being an irrational homophobe. And in terms of people who choose not to support Tomodachi Life because of, you know, the gay things being... were not working as intended or whatever, said, I respect their decision. I just think that so many people work in a game, the chances of one being a horrible person are high. It's complicated. What if my favorite artist... It is complicated. What if my favorite painter was a homophobe or a racist or beat his wife? Should I hate his art?
Well, that's like the entire thrust of this conversation. And that's really looking at sort of the realities that, you know, a lot of classic works done that, you know, are considered, you know, some of like the pinnacle of what can be achieved by the human race were made by people who are considered like awful people or would be considered awful people in this day and age.
And that's kind of what I was trying to look at in my bloggy, so,
I was backing
up. No, I'm saying well put, and, you know, that definitely comes full circle.
So, you know, it's just interesting to really look at the fact that, you know, I certainly did skip, Tomodachi Life, even though I was looking forward to it, due to the way Nintendo handled the situation. And it's less the actual facts of the case and more the way they handled it that upset me. Which I talked about back when it was going on. We're not gonna, you know, go over that again here.
Right.
But I just think that sort of really looking at the separation between art and artist is really something you always wanna sort of reevaluate and take a look at within yourself and, you know, sort of redefine define for yourself from time to time where your line is.
Yeah.
Thank you for starting a dialogue on that, Slaggy.
Of course. And continuing the dialogue on Chrono Trigger, because people love that game, was Happy Natto over on Twitter, agreeing that DS is the version to play, saying the upgrades aren't intrusive, the music gets a nice upgrade, and it works very well portably. Emiru69 said, cool, that's the version I own, but have never played it, and has a little monkey covering its mouth emoji. And last, but certainly not least, I think this maybe got tweeted to us by accident, because it's from our longtime listener, O'Krylo, you know, formerly known as Cheeto16.
Yes.
Saying, I wasn't a Dan fan before, but thanks to GameBuoy.org, I am now. # Hibicast for life.
Hibicast? I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, Dan Hibiki, we did a fighting games episode like a long time ago, but... Yeah, I'm not really sure what you're talking about, but thanks for thinking of GameBuoy.org, I guess.
All right, all that having been said and done, you know, we like your Facebook likes.
We do.
We live for your feedback.
We live for that. We really enjoy when you subscribe to us on iTunes.
And give us ratings and reviews.
Yeah. We mentioned the Facebook likes, definitely, but what we really effing love is Twitter.
We effing love Twitter.
By the way, if you want to tweet at me personally, I am at Slagkick.
I'm at SpikePoint.
And
GameBuoy.org with the .org spelled out. D-O-T-O-R-G.
D-O-T-O-R-G. You're right on it. Tumblr and Google Plus. Sorry.
Just search for us over there. GameBuoy.org.
Yeah. I'm just going to totally own up to it. I think I'm a couple episodes behind in terms of posting them on there. I kind of forget about those.
You can also email us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
At gamebuoy.org. Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
And, of course, our home base can be found over at gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org, where you can now see on the sidebar the most recent episode and the most recent game bloggy, which right now there's only one. So, Spike, you should write.
I probably should. But first, I need to do some shout-outs. The first of which, of course, goes, as ever and always, to VG Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends, as well as the Game Over Takeover, your one-stop shop to go to for geekery galore. I'd be remiss not to mention Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice, and from whom I steal ever so many of my cues. We're also real big fans of the Nintendo Fun Club, where you will find platformers, positivity, and pop punk. I also gotta point out Enos Lives, which is done by Brondorf over from the Nintendo Fun Club, a look at various PlayStation 1 games that are well-loved, and some which are not.
By the way, Steve Pixel over on Facebook said yes when we shared your Toaniki episode.
Hell yeah. I also want to point out Anthony's Nintendo Love Fest, which he also does with Michaels from VG Realness, as well as Anthony's non-gaming-related podcast, X Nation, over at culturalwormhole.blogspot.com, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants.
Enjoy your honeymoon.
There is also, of course, Slagkick's show, Reading is Fundamental, starring myself, as well as Rob Roberts, and Delvin from Orange... Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from VG Realness, where we talk about RuPaul's Drag Race. Of course, I also want to point you in the direction of the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. And last, but never least, the Tables, Ladders, and Podcasts podcast, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man.
Podcast.
Slaggy, why don't you take us to a game bar?
Game Bar, as ever and always, is truly the gay video game prairie home companion. In fact, I was visiting family for Easter brunch today, and Prairie Home Companion was on the radio, perchance. And I was like, this really is kind of like the country western game bar. Koopa Club is an award-winning podcast about Nintendo and gaming with an LGBT twist. That's Koopa with a Q and Club with a K. The Q is kind of like queer. And I believe the award was from their mothers. Over on the Voice of Geeks Network, that's vognetwork.com, you can listen to two great shows. Well, you can listen to a lot of great shows, but the two I want to shout out to are Girls Gone Wow, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO, and Horde House, the place for all things online gaming, but never too seriously. I'd like to also shout out to the Multitap podcast over on FistfulOfPotions.com, and that is a discussion podcast in the round about gaming then and now. And last but certainly not least, La Palanca podcast, a podcast por y para gay gamers latinoamericanos en español. As everyone always, I'd like to shout out to the late, great Zelda Reorchestrated, who did our wonderful theme music, and you were a forever pouring out a 40 for them. Thank you for making people associate that music with Game Buoy now.
Thank
more than
you
Wind
for
Waker.
Being a friend.
Party games. If we played some party games.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for spending
some
your
time
Sunday.
To celebrate.
Thank you so much for spending your Sunday evening with us. Hopefully you have had as much fun listening to
party
us
games.
As we've had talking to you. If you don't stop, I will slap you. As ever and always, keep gaming, keep thinking, and until next time,
ow!
Answer that and stay fashionable.
Speaking to your mic.
Oh my god, dudes.
I will puke for Monster Hunter.
Awesome. I will puke for Monster Hunter.
Ah!
I want some spooky amiibo!
Right.
Penises and butts, penises and butts. Mics are hot.
Hot mics.
Right. This is Captain Spike. I have done this so many times tonight,
actually,
and it's been fine.
I'm glad you fucked up because I have a question. I need a title. Is Rear Admiral taken?
Rear Admiral? Rear Admirable? Really?
And what were your thoughts on Mario Kart? What were your thoughts on Mario Party?
Rumor has it.
Are we going to be like, wow, that was great.
Would you like to?
I think you kind of need to.
Okay, well, do what you were going to do.
Oh,
shit, I have
to think
about that. What?
I wonder why no one's done a...